and an absolute privilege to welcome James Brent Stein in another capacity to talk to you this morning. James Brent, of course, James, can I call you James? Everybody calls you James Brent. I only know you as James. I'm so glad someone's eventually told me I can just call you James. Now, James Stein, of course, a seasoned journalist. He'll tell you a bit about his history. He now works with Anton Bredell in a department that is obviously playing a critical role in overseeing what's happening with our water crisis. So you know him from that perspective as well. But he's also an author. He's written a book called Hartbreker, Heartbreaker. It's about Christian Barnard. I don't have to tell you who Christian Barnard is, but I can remind you that this Saturday and Sunday marks the 50th anniversary of that heart transplant. You'll see hundreds of people flocking to lovely Cape Town using two-minute showers while they're doing that as well, but to commemorate an amazing man and an amazing feat that we still celebrate each and every year. But 50th anniversary, of course, is the big one. You've written a book about Christian Barnard. So, James, thank you very much for joining us.
Thanks, Skinner. Thanks for having me.
How long have you been a journalist for? I know
I was about 10 years before I got the new job.
Meer geld betaal, nee. Anyway. But so you were a journalist. You worked for the Naspers Group.
Yeah. I was in Parliament and I was in Joburg where I was writing about finance. I wrote a book about Eskom 2 years ago, by the way.
Yep.
Probably the first little book about state capture, I'm quite proud to say, called Blackout, the Eskom Crisis. And I mean, a lot of stuff happened since then, but that was the beginning of keeping on writing.
Now, there are many books that people can choose to write. We know that a lot of people have decided to follow your lead and eventually write about state capture. You've decided to go another route, which I think, amongst all the clutter, is probably a very good decision to do. But why Christian Barnard? Obviously, 50th year, but why your interest in it?
I was just piqued with curiosity. What did I know about Christian Barnard? What does most people know about him? Mm. I was sitting in the highway one afternoon, stuck next to that new hospital they're building, and I was this was end of last year, and I was in Beaufort West fairly after with that, and I saw the Christian Barnard Museum, and I realized I don't know much about the guy. I started reading up about him for my own interest, and was absolutely just gobsmacked by the guy's life, what he did, what he achieved long before the heart transplant. The heart transplant was kind of the cherry on the top. But long before that, 15 years even before, he was doing research into illnesses that was afflicting children. Deadly illnesses, terrible things, and coming up with world-breaking cures. I mean, I wasn't aware of this.
So the man is indeed a genius. And we're going to get to one transplant that he did that a lot of people don't know about, and that's, I think, going to blow a lot of people away. But you need to, please don't give us too much information, because I still would like people to read your book, all right? I don't want them to download the show and then say, hey, there's a podcast of the book.
There's so much stuff in there, it's going to be awesome.
Everybody talks about him getting all the credit, being patted on the back, yet if one looks at his surgical assistants, and I think Chapter 4 deals with this quite effectively as well. The surgical assistants, including Hamilton Naki. Just how do you cover that?
So that was one of the things that interested me. I mean, there was a lot of controversy around Hamilton, known as Hammy to his colleagues and his friends. And people said that, you know, at the time his role was covered up and he was actually actively involved on the 2nd and 3rd of December 1967 with the heart transplant. But because he was black, the apartheid government covered it up. So I was as outraged as everybody. And it was part of my research to go and see what happened and write a bit about the guy. And you'll be interested to know that there were a number of other people, not only Hamilton. There was a number of colored people as well working in the research labs whose names have, I suppose, disappeared over time, which I try to highlight a little bit in my research. But the fact of the matter is that, you know, every captain needs a team, and Hamilton was part of the support team.
Yes.
There's absolutely no question about it. He was involved in the research, but he wasn't a medical surgeon. He didn't have a medical qualification, and there's just no way that even today that anybody, myself included, could be in an operating theater, and that is just the fact of the matter.
But Hamilton worked on dogs, didn't he? He was not an officially a vet.
Well, he was. They were the support team in the experimental research laboratory.
Yeah.
And there was a whole bunch of people. And before these surgeons, including Crisp and Marius Barnard, could, you know, actively perform these groundbreaking surgeries they did, they first had to practice somewhere. And they, at that stage, Greenpeace wasn't around, I think. they were practicing on dogs and baboons. People were selling, farmers were selling baboons for 10 rand a pop to the hospitals. I think they were making very happy about that, but that stopped.
Yeah.
shortly
after. But I mean, the work that they did played a very integral role in Christian Barnard being able to do what he did, as you've alluded to. So going to chapter 5, for example, from page 61, it deals with the visit to Russia and a head transplant procedure. Now, this will make, I think, a lot of people fall off the chair, but it'll also show you how much of a genius he actually is and was.
Again, a story that just blew me away. I mean, on the one hand, you got a guy who did it. So there's a Russian surgeon. This was 1960, behind the Iron Curtain, communism at its ultimate. I mean, in South Africa, absolutely not a fan of communist Russia, especially in 1960. And there's a Russian doctor who transplants a dog's head. And there's a photo published in Time magazine. And Chris Barnard sees this in some of the local media, and he decides, well, you know, I can do that. And he runs off to this dog laboratory, and he transplants a dog's head. He takes the head from one dog and puts it on the body of another successfully. I mean, these dogs' heads were moving, they were yapping, they were drinking milk, and he nearly lost his job for it. I mean, his bosses were like, what kind of monster are you going to create next? And he said, well, you'll have to wait and see. And then following that, he became a little obsessed. He wanted to meet this Russian guy. And I mean, the whole story of how he went to Moscow, went in 1960, couldn't go through South African authorities. The police called him in, wanted to say, hey, what are you doing? Where are you going? He had to go through the US, where there wasn't a Russian embassy, ended up in Moscow. Great story, where he got completely drunk because the Russian doctors didn't have money for vodka, so they were drinking ethanol, which is clean alcohol. He completely was knocked out, wake up in a hotel. But those are the kind of stories that have never been told before.
Yeah, but don't tell too much. Nah, you want people to read your book. I know you're getting very excited about it, as I am, but it's a great book. It's an amazing book to read. Now, I don't know. I don't want to give away too many of these things, but, page 230, from page 230, he deals with Lady Diana, for example. There's also a little bit about his politics, not on page 230, but chapters 14 and 15, politically controversial. Now, I want you to give me broad brushstrokes about those two without giving away too much.
So he had let me start with the politics. So he was always a colorful character, and I tried building. So this is essentially a biography. So and it starts in his background, where he comes from, and his dad was a missionary amongst colored people in Beaufort West, and they were really oppressed for it. And so he had a very bad background, struggling against this apartheid state, and it evolved slightly. And it'll be interesting to see. I'm quite excited to see what people's comments will be about my analysis of his politics and his involvement in later years. As he got famous, the apartheid state started abusing that, and they started saying, well, here's a guy, if he can achieve this, we can't be that bad, and how he had to deal with that. There's a great story where he treated Robert Sobukwe, and how Robert Sobukwe insisted in coming to Cape Town. This was after he was under house arrest. Yeah. So there's all these elements which people are unaware of. With Lady Diana, you know, there's probably one person who went through the same kind of intense media scrutiny and criticism that Chris Barnard went through, up and down the whole lot. And that's Lady Diana. And they met up and they became very, very good friends in their later years. And they even started they worked together on plans to do heart surgery for children from areas that couldn't afford it, essentially.
Wow. Wow, wow, wow. I mean, I think you've said enough. Where can we find this book? When's it going to be out? You've got a launch coming up.
Yeah, launched on Tuesday at the Book Lounge here in Cape Town. There'll probably be some more events early next year, but the book will be available everywhere from the 4th of December. That's Monday, and that's literally 50 years after Louis Washkansky woke up with a new heart.
I love it. Now, if you're tweetalig, you can get Heartbreaker and Heartbreaker, because he's done it. It's obviously been translated into Afrikaans as well. It's really
translated to English.
Afrikaans. Can you still speak Afrikaans?
Natuurlijk.
Oh, ik vraag me nou niet. Okay, it was translated into English. Sorry for you. Great book, Heartbreaker, Christian Barnard, and the first heart transplant by James Brent Stein. Please, can I have the movie rights?
we'll speak offline.
Absolutely. Make sure you get it. We will be talking about fathers, about paternity leave, but a bit later if we can squeeze that in. But I just thought it's really interesting to introduce you to a book that I think is going to fixate you once you start reading. So make sure you get there and check that out. And we all need a bit of escapism, but also anchored in reality, which is, I think, what this book does. Very quickly, the Barnard family?
Yeah, they were very, very helpful and very supportive as well.
Great stuff. James Stein, thank you very much for joining us on the show.